The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 1st through Sunday, May 7th, 2023. The commentary for the month of May was written by Perry M. Pauley, the associate priest at Trinity Cathedral in Phoenix, Arizona. Before pursuing ordination in the Episcopal Church, Perry worked as a professor and an entrepreneur. Perry has been married to Michelle since 2003, and they have two children, Elias and Elena. The commentary for Monday, May 1st, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 to 9a. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Here's the commentary for this day. We don't know much about Philip or James based on what is recorded in the Gospels, but John gives us glimpses into Philip's character. We know he is so excited after meeting Jesus that he shares the good news with his friend Nathanael. We know Jesus puts him on the spot in front of a hungry crowd of thousands. We know he is educated and speaks Greek, and we know that despite his zeal, faithfulness, and intellect, he still needs reassurance from time to time. Jesus' words to Philip sting just a little, but the purpose of his correction is clear. The reassurance you need is already there, Philip. You just need to remember. The journey of faith is not easy, and like Philip, we all have moments when we just want to see God clearly. When I am discouraged or feel uncertain, remembering God's faithfulness in the past provides me with hope and direction for the future. And now I'll read from the entire gospel passage. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." And now we'll take a look at the moving forward question for this Monday, May 1st. What experiences of God's faithfulness in your past might help you in times of worry and distress? Now the commentary for Tuesday, May 2nd. It begins with a passage from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verse 1. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. I did not meet Dorothy until near the end of her life. Dorothy was an elegant lady who had lived into her 90s, and even though she was not able to get out of her chair when I was scheduled to visit, she always made sure to have her best robe on and her hair styled neatly. As her health continued to decline, my visits began to occur in the hospital. When I arrived, she apologized for her appearance, but after some gentle reassurance, that same familiar grace and dignity that I had come to know during our home visits returned. We often read this passage about God holding the souls of the righteous during our burial liturgy. But Dorothy helped me see it differently. Even as her body failed, the divine image that she carried within her dimmed, never dimmed. The torment of cancer was no match for the strength of her soul, because her soul was in God's hands long before her life here on earth ended. And now I'll read from the full passage of the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seemed to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster. And their going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace. For though in the sight of others they were punished, their hope is full of immortality. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy of himself. Like gold in the furnace, he tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering, he accepted them. In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble. They will govern nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord will reign over them forever. Those who trust in him will understand truth, and the faithful will abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are upon his holy ones, and he watches over his elect. And the moving forward question for this day is, who in your life exudes the divine image of God? Thank them for their witness. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, May 3rd. It begins with a passage from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I am not an expert in construction or landscaping, but I have some experience doing both. And what I know from that experience about things that are rooted and things that are built is this: trees will not grow and buildings will not stand unless you take the time to prepare the soil first. This is probably why Jesus spent so much time talking about planting seeds and building houses on different soils. The metaphor of putting in long hours of hard, unglamorous work, clearing brush, digging trenches, grading and leveling, before the real work begins, is still meaningful today. Some years ago, I built a small fort for our kids in the backyard. I spent hours trying to level the dirt and make it ready. But I was perhaps too eager to start constructing the fort. To this day, the fort still leans. So often, we want to skip ahead and get to whatever we think the real work is. But as anyone who's built a leaning fort can tell you, it will be better if you finish the hard work first. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 24 through chapter 2, verse 7. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding, and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And the moving forward question for this day is, what foundational work do you need to tend to today? Now the commentary for Thursday, May 4th, it begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 43 to 44a. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Our previous home had two old grapefruit trees, but our family doesn't enjoy grapefruit, so we composted the fruit for the first couple of years. We were committed to eating some of our annual harvest, so we finally tried a new dessert recipe. We took some grapefruit, coated the wedges in sugar, and caramelized them. It was only then that we realized that the fruit was so overwhelmingly bitter that not even caramelized sugar could make it edible. We asked about nurturing the trees back to health and were told we were too late. Decades of neglect cannot be undone. This is a message that would have connected with Jesus' audience. Tending plants was included in Jewish law as an act of worship. It's in Leviticus 19:23-25. And Jesus' audience would have known that it is the gardener, not the tree, who's responsible for the quality of the fruit. We should be grateful for Jesus' reminder in John 15 that God is a faithful gardener who tends to all those who remain in him. That is the only way that we will bear good fruit. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 49. He also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Friend, let me take out the speck in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good fruit bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not know what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood rose, the river burst against that house but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, May 4th, is, have you considered planting a garden? Offer a prayer at each step, asking for strength and wisdom to bear good fruit, and vegetables too. Now the commentary for Friday, May 5th. It begins with a passage from the book of Psalms, chapter 40, verse 11. Your righteousness have I not hidden in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your love and faithfulness from the great congregation. I hope that you've had the experience of spending time listening to someone tell their story of God's loving faithfulness. In just the last few months, I've heard loved ones testify to God's faithfulness in overcoming addiction, managing cancer diagnosis and treatment, and healing from a significant heart attack. The late scholar Walter Fisher argued that storytelling makes us human. We live to tell stories, and the stories we tell about ourselves and those others tell about us become our legacy. But sometimes we feel reluctant to talk about our spiritual life. Our hopes and prayers seem too private, and we fear that talking about God's love and faithfulness might sound foolish or naive. That is what makes Psalm 40 so profound. We know today that sharing our stories is mentally, emotionally, and even physically healing. So don't hide God's love and faithfulness away in your heart. Let your story out and let the healing continue. And now I'm going to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, "Aha, aha." But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord." As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. And the moving forward statement for this day is, tell your story of faith to your friends and neighbors and others who love you. And now the commentary for Saturday, May 6th. It begins with a passage from Colossians 3, verse 14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Before ordination, I spent too much time in every morning finding a shirt and matching pants. That is one of many reasons I prefer to wear a black shirt and collar most days. It's simple, efficient, and it's a choice I make every morning as I'm starting my day. I think the writer of Colossians had this same idea in mind. Each day we choose how and when to get dressed. This does not happen automatically without planning or effort on our part. This chapter includes three different instructions to clothe ourselves, and the parallels between our wardrobes and newness of life, compassion, and love are clear. They require intention, planning, and discipline. Despite our best efforts, we will sometimes forget something, just like I sometimes forget my belt or watch. And most of all, no matter what happens today, tomorrow, we get another chance to clothe ourselves in love again. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And the moving forward question for this day, or it's rather a statement, is say a simple prayer for the grace to clothe yourself in newness of life, compassion, and love. And now as we reach the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, May 7th, the fifth Sunday of Easter. It begins with a passage from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Come to him a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here's the commentary. The outside of Trinity Cathedral in Phoenix, Arizona, is covered in beautiful tufa limestone that was quarried locally when the cathedral was built. What amazes me is the story these limestone blocks continue to tell. despite more than 100 years of constant exposure to one of the most extreme environments in the world, each block still bears the scars from the stonecutters and masons who quarried and placed them. The idea of a living stone is admittedly hard to grasp. Stones clearly aren't alive in the biological sense, but they still have a story to tell when we listen. And most often, those stories involve scars. We know that following in the way of Jesus involves sacrifice, and that, like Jesus, we might carry some scars. But when we give ourselves over to follow where He leads, we become like that great cathedral, a spiritual house that will stand the test of time. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to Him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, He is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the world, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And the moving forward question for this Sunday, May 7th, what scars do you bear that tell the story of a faithful life? Give thanks for them today. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye till next time.